Ghosts, cryptids, murder, conspiracies, beer, what, the ale.
Hello, hello, friends.
Hello, friends.
I mean, we can just dive right in. I know it has been at least 3 weeks, and I'm so sorry to all of you. as you all probably gathered, I moved across the country, and that was a lot more chaotic and stressful, and like just didn't have the time really to record. And so thanks for being patient with us. I hope we didn't lose any of you. But
It was a job offer and a move pretty much immediately, which means you had to find someone to take over your Oakland apartment. You had to sell a bunch of furniture. You had to go down and see family in SoCal to say goodbye to them. I mean, it was like a lot to handle in just a couple of short weeks. So,
yeah, it was insane, but we did it. And I'm here in Boston, staying in a lovely Airbnb until I can move into my real apartment. And yeah,
you love the job and it's worth it. So,
oh, I do. I love my job so much more than my last job. So I'm very excited about that. And it was definitely the right choice to take the job and come as quickly as possible. But yeah, definitely like last weekend, all I wanted to do was like lay in bed and watch movies. I had no energy for anything.
Yeah, it had been a lot. It was very chaotic. And my garage is full of stuff to show how chaotic it was. But that's okay. We're working it out.
We're going to fix that when I move, or when I come back this summer. We're going to drive my car across. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
But
yeah. But congratulations on the new job. Killing it. Love it for you. It's good to see your face on Zoom.
Yeah, it's good to see your face, Mom. Do you have any what the ill moments this week?
Other than the chaos that has been the last few weeks of you moving and the fact that you moved across country again, I think my chaotic or my what the ill moment was I had a chaotic issue with a prom dress that was supposed to arrive on time and did not arrive on time. So I had to have that conversation with my child, who is very unhappy about it. And then we had to take last night just to find another prom dress that will fit and be available, because the prom is this, or the ball, senior ball, is this Saturday. So it was stressful and chaotic when I realized that the dress wasn't coming on time, having to break that news to the child who loved the dress, and then having to find another dress that was the right color and all of that, because the boyfriend had already purchased all his stuff in the color that they wanted. So yeah, it was chaotic and stressful, but we worked it out.
Well, I'm glad you worked it out, but that totally sucks. I mean, you know, especially with prom, you want to prom or ball or whatever, you want to look your best. And
yeah, well, and the whole rite of passage thing, you know, my kid doesn't get excited for many of those things. So the fact that they were very excited for ball and then it went sideways, you know, I wanted to make sure we corrected it so that they could be back to being excited about it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally, totally.
What about you?
Well, my life has been chaotic, but I have a kind of good what the L moment, which is that the reason why I moved to Boston is one of my best friends from grad school recommended me for this job and all the things. And it came with a promise that I would be inducted into her wonderful queer and amazing friend group of people. And I have officially been invited to get Indian food and then watch Bollywood movies on Friday with the whole friend group. And I'm just
That's
really grateful and feeling really full that I have like a wonderful friend who like wants to bring me into her world and like make sure that I'm getting settled comfortably and all the things. So yeah,
yeah.
I'm just excited.
Yeah, community is important. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like a lot of my friends left after grad school. So it's nice that my friends that are still here are like, yeah, let's hang out and do things. And yeah, so
yeah.
Cool.
All right. You drinking anything special?
In honor of me being in Boston, I'm having a good old-fashioned harpoon, which is an IPA that is very local to New England. So yeah, what about you?
Well, because of the time difference, I am at my office, so I am drinking a big glass of water.
You know what? Hydrate or dihydrate, friends. I did not hydrate until, yeah, yesterday. Did not drink a lot of water, and that was not good for me. Did not feel good. So,
Yeah.
hydrate is very important.
Yeah. All right. So what story you got for us this week?
Well, my friends, I had been wanting to do this location for a while, and I was actually kind of surprised by how quick it is going to be, but I wanted to do a good old-fashioned haunted building.
Okay.
So, Mom, have you ever heard of the Waverly Hills Sanatorium?
I don't know. I mean, you might start talking and I go, oh yeah, I remember, but it doesn't come to mind.
Yeah, so I will say that this location is very well known in paranormal circles. Pretty much any ghost hunter, it's one of the places they go. I'm pretty sure we've watched the Unsolved episode about it together, so you might recognize a couple of the little
I
ghosties.
was gonna say, it's probably something that I've seen on a show and I just don't remember the name.
Yeah, but I'll give some of the history and then we'll talk about the ghosts. Like I said, it's kind of a short one, which I was surprised about, but I also didn't want to watch like hours of investigations of people just getting like orbs on the screen. So
Yeah.
that's kind of why it's a little on the shorter side too. But so the sanatorium is located in the Waverly Hills neighborhood of Louisville, Kentucky. The land was originally purchased in 1883 by Major Thomas H. Hayes, and he wanted to build his family home on the property. But you know, this is before cars and things, and the land was really far from any of the existing schools in Louisville, so he decided to build a local school on the property so his children could attend.
Yeah.
And it
That's
started out
way to be proactive. That's good.
exactly, you know, I mean, good for him. We love education in this family. But yeah, so it started out as a one-room schoolhouse on Page's Lane, and Lizzie Lee Harris was hired as a school teacher. The teacher herself had a fondness for Walter Scott Waverly novels, so it was named the Waverly School. And Hayes actually liked the name so much that he named the property Waverly Hill. So that's kind of the history of the land. But it after, you know, the Hayeses had moved on and everything in the early 1900s, there was an outbreak of the White Plague, which do you know what that is?
The White Plague? I don't know.
Good old tuberculosis, TB consumption, you name it, the White Plague came
Okay.
out into Jefferson County. And apparently, because it was on the Ohio River and there was a lot of wetlands, it was like the perfect breeding ground for the disease to spread. And so the Board of Tuberculosis Hospitals decided to buy the land and open a sanatorium. And it was originally going to be kind of like early cases of TB. And at the time, a lot of the treatments included like getting out into open air. That's just like how they thought it would happen. So it was kind of built as a two-story facility that could accommodate 40 to 50 patients that opened in 1910. There was also a main admin building with two open air pavilions. Like I said, they thought just having fresh air would help cure the disease.
Yeah.
And so in 1911, the county wanted to build a Louisville City Hospital, but the hospital was not going to allow for the care of pulmonary tuberculosis or like the advanced cases. And so what they ended up doing was giving 25,000 to the sanatorium to build a five-story hospital to care for the advanced patients who had tuberculosis. So this building would it began construction in 1924 and opened in October of 1926. It was, as I mentioned, a five-story hospital that could house over 400 patients.
Wow.
And it wasn't, so this opened in 26. It wasn't until 1943 that the antibiotic was kind of created that could fight TB. And so it wasn't until, like I said, till 43, and then cases started lowering. And by 1961, the hospital had all but closed because, or the tuberculosis part of the hospital closed. But a lot of people think that soldiers still here, as you know, a lot of people did not survive the disease, unfortunately. And the tuberculosis vaccine had been out for a while as well, towards the end. But I guess a lot of treatments, as I mentioned, the open porches and things, but they also had the idea of doing or exposing lungs to ultraviolet light. So they thought if you were in suns or in sunrooms with specialized lights that you could like shine on yourself to get the rays, they thought that could help with TB. They also would surgically implant balloons and then fill them with air to expand the patient's lungs.
Oh,
Um,
wow.
and there was also an operation where ribs were removed to allow the rib cage and the lungs to expand. And so because of all of this, a lot of people believe there's like not so great energy because of the treatments that were involved. And so they built something so that patients would not see how many patients were dying, called a body chute. Is this ringing a bell at all for you?
I don't know. I don't know. Go ahead.
Okay, so it's essentially an enclosed tunnel that's about 500 yards, and it leads from the hospital to the train tracks at the bottom of the hill. So they would just
Oh my
like
gosh.
wheel patients' bodies down and then put them on the cable car. Like they had a cable car in there that would kind of lower the patients to the
Oh my
tracks.
gosh.
And then, like I said, they didn't want people to see how many people were dying. So they would like put them on the trains and let them be buried or handled, however that went.
Oh, wow.
And so, all in all, they did a lot of calculations. A lot of, you know, ghost hunting shows are like tens of thousands of people died here. And we don't know the real number. But there was a doctor named Frank Stewart, who was the assistant medical director, and he claimed that the highest number of deaths in a year was 152. And that towards the end of its time, it was as low as 42. So the kind of guesstimate is about 6,000 people died while the hospital was in operation. So, as I mentioned, the sanitarium closed in 1961 because the success of streptomycin to fight TB was massive and there was no need for a TB ward. But a year later, they reopened it as a geriatric sanitarium. And there were lots of rumors of patient mistreatment, unusual experiments and things like that being conducted. I didn't see a lot about experiments, but I do know that they did use electroshock therapy as a way to treat various ailments during that time. That was pretty standard. And then I think the 60s, and you know, I mean, we've all seen like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and things where, you know, mental health hospitals are not great, but you know, I don't want to claim, I don't really know. But I don't know. But eventually in 1982, the state closed the facility for good after budget cuts, and things were leading to bad conditions and patient mistreatment. And so at least there is some truth to that. Like I said, there just wasn't a lot of info as to why or what happened. And then it did kind of change hands a couple of times. So in 1983, the land was purchased to build a minimum security prison for Kentucky. But they dropped the plans after there were a lot of neighbor complaints. And so then they decided to turn it into condos, but there was a lack of financial backing. So that project just kind of failed. In 1996, the land was bought by Robert Halberhasky, and he wanted to construct the world's largest Jesus statue with an
Oh my
art and
goodness.
worship center. And he wanted it
The
to
world's largest Jesus statue. I just need to process that for a minute. How big do you want this statue to be?
I mean, it would have been massive, but he wanted it to be like at bigger than the one in Rio de Janeiro. the famous, like,
I was gonna say, because that, I mean, like, yeah, how big do you want this thing to be? That would be a big ass statue. That's not even the building, it's just the statue.
yeah, so he had only bought the land. He didn't actually raise money to build the statue, and he needed about $12 million to build one of this magnitude. So after only a year of trying to fundraise, he only got $3,000. So he just kind of abandoned the property, and then he sorry, I'm laughing because this guy is funny. He abandoned the property and tried to have the building condemned. And this was because there were rumors that there was demolition work going along the southern edge of the building that would damage the structural integrity of the building so that he could collect the insurance money.
Wow.
But the sorry, I keep laughing. This man is just goofy. So anyway, the state or the county or whoever stopped it, they were like, dude, stop it. But 5 years later, in 2001, the owners Charlie and Tina Mattingly bought the property. And they still own Waverly Hills. And so they kind of just turned it into a paranormal attraction. They let people come and tour the grounds. They let people do paranormal investigations. They are really, you know, doing the things, but they also like let the building, well, I mean, in general, the land passed so many hands and nothing happened. So the building just kind of sat there and like teams would go and
Yeah.
vandalize it and do things and stuff. So
Yeah,
it
party
really,
there and all that. Yeah.
exactly. So it really does nowadays look like a very spooky building. There's just graffiti all over the walls and it's kind of in disrepair and whatever, but they leave it that way because they want it to be spooky for ghost hunters. So let's get into some of the ghosties. So like I said, the sanatorium has the reputation of being one of the most haunted places in the world. And before it was designated on the National Register of Historic Places, as I mentioned, it was left to decay. So that's why a lot of it is very rough around the edges. And it was, like I said, a popular ghost hunting location for teens and investigators. And pretty quickly, there were a lot of stories about seeing shadow people and ghostly children. A lot of people think the children are linked to the school. Not, or maybe also to the tuberculosis ward, like children would also be in there. Obviously not the geriatric hospital that it became later.
Yeah.
One popular ghost is a little girl who runs up and down the third floor solarium. There's also a little boy who is really popular at the hospital, and his name is Timmy. And Timmy is
Did they
sometimes
throw a
seen.
ball with Timmy in the show? Okay,
Yeah.
I do remember this. I was like, some of it sounds familiar, but I remember the name Timmy, and I remember they were like throwing the ball.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, Timmy likes to play ball. So sometimes people see Timmy and he's holding a leather ball. And then sometimes people will bring like little racket balls or bouncy balls and they'll throw it down the hallway and sometimes it'll come back. So they tried to replicate this on Ghost Files and BuzzFeed Unsolved, and they threw the ball, and the two investigators' names are Ryan and Shane, and the ball like went down a hallway and then into a room and under the name Ryan. So Ryan
Yeah.
flipped out.
Ryan always flips out, but I love him. He's so cute.
He's so cute when he flips out. You're like, okay, buddy. But Ryan flipped out. Shane was like, it's a coincidence. And then, you know, whatever. So Ryan was like, I'm going to throw the ball the exact same way. And he tried to throw it the same way, and it just landed in the middle of the floor, which I kind of think is interesting because you would think, I don't know, a bouncy ball wouldn't land like directly in the middle, but also that's just my thinking. But yeah, so that's a popular thing. You can play the ball with Timmy. People have also seen at the back of the building, kind of near where the body chute lets out, they would see a hearse appearing and dropping off coffins, for bodies, like an old-timey hearse. There is also an apparition of a woman who has cut wrists crying for help. As well, people believe she might have been one of the patients who took her own life. And there are a few stories of that, but no one's quite sure who this particular woman is. Another popular one is people see doctors. People see men in white coats just walking around. There's one often seen in the cafeteria, and around the kitchen. And it's funny because if you go in the kitchen, sometimes you'll smell the like smells of cooking food. And people will often hear footsteps, doors swinging shut. That's super common throughout the hospital as well. Some people have reported freshly baked bread or like the smell of freshly baked bread.
Okay, I would love that. I just want to hang out in that room.
Yeah. I'm like, if it just smells like sourdough baking all day, that'd be
No,
wonderful.
that'd be cool. I would just hang out in there and smell all the smells.
Yeah, so and then there is, like I said, there's a doctor who walks around in the cafeteria and kitchen area. There's also someone in a white coat walking around the fourth floor. They believe it's a doctor, a man in a white coat. And then there's one more story that I kind of think is sad. But there was a ghost of a man who was homeless, and they're assuming he probably went in the hospital to like take shelter and his dog, and they found him falling at like in the elevator shaft, or like he had
Oh,
fallen into the
so they
down
think
the
like he
elevator.
took shelter like after the building was already closed down.
Yeah,
Oh.
and he, didn't know a door was an elevator and fell to his death. And the interesting thing is, two people see the dog, so I don't know, like, did he act like, was he carrying the dog, or was the dog just like kind of a random addition? I don't know, but a lot of people have both seen the man and they have seen the dog walking around the building, so that is interesting.
Well, dogs are loyal, though. I mean, even if the
Yeah.
man fell and the dog didn't, the dog might have stayed close by,
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But, or maybe the dog didn't know how to get out of the building.
Yeah, that is
Yeah.
true. That is true. But there is one more like pretty haunted area in this hospital, and that is room 502. Many people experience shapes moving in the windows. They'll see faces like on the other side of the glass. They hear disembodied voices. And I don't know how much of a record there is of this, but people have reportedly jumped to their deaths from this room. But a lot of people believe that these stories or like these experiences happen because two pretty sad deaths happened in or around room 502. So there was a nurse in 1928 who is believed to have taken her own life. They believe she hung herself, and she was found hanging in front of the room. And it's unknown for how long she had gone undiscovered, but she reportedly was unmarried and pregnant. And so some people believe she took her life because her partner, or like the baby's dad, was not going to help her with it or was not supportive. Other people believe maybe she had actually died during like an illegal abortion, and then they staged the suicide to like hide the fact that that had happened. But again, that could just be speculation. No one really knows, and it was 1928, so hard to tell. But another nurse actually jumped from the window in room 502 to her death in 1932. And all ghost hunters are like, well, maybe she was pushed, but again, we don't know. So those are kind of, again, like I said, two very sad deaths that happened in this room. Something I did find though is that there are some contradictions to some of the story. I guess like a lot of people who have investigated the room are like, how would the nurse have hung herself? Like the light fixture wasn't strong enough to support a body. And then there was like a pipe, but the pipe wasn't added until the 70s. And so they were saying, maybe there was something there before, but there wasn't anything at the time, as far as they know, that like could have supported the weight of a human body. And then they said that there was a former staff member who has come forward and claimed that these were true, and he remembers the things happening, but he would have been 6 to 10 years old at the time of the deaths. So even if he was former staff, like he wouldn't have potentially been there, I don't think. Unless like his parents worked there or he had TV or something. So it is kind of interesting. I will say during the BuzzFeed, I didn't watch the new, they did like they reinvestigated it again, but they the initial time they investigated, they didn't really have anything. There were like lots of like sounds of like slamming doors and things, but that could be wind. So that is kind of hard to say.
Well, and they always, Ryan always jumps at everything and thinks everything is something, and Shane doesn't think anything is ever anything. So, yeah, they're very entertaining because they, it's a very different vibe.
Yeah, they're so funny. Like Shane was like, I mean, this building isn't nice. Like, it's kind of unsettling being here, but it's fine, you know. And Ryan's like, this is so haunted and terrifying. It's hilarious. But yeah, so that's kind of the Waverly Hills. Like, I think I like maybe mixed this location up with another one and thought there were a lot more ghosts. So this is kind of a short and sweet one, but I wanted to do a haunted building. So
Very
what do you
cool.
think?
Yeah, I mean, I remember the episode. I listen to so many podcasts. I've probably heard other stories of it. I just don't remember because I listen to too many things. But I remember that episode. And yeah, I mean, I did think it was kind of fun, the ball like landing under the name Ryan or whatever. I remember that being like, huh, that's a weird coincidence if it's a coincidence. Yeah, so I mean, I thought that was really fun though, but yeah, I don't know.
Definitely. It's exciting stuff.
Is it a place that people, I mean, I know all the ghost hunting shows and all that go there often. Do other people like tour it, or is it like shut down, or?
Yeah, so it's open to the public. You can like I kind of peeked around on the website. It looks like you can go and reserve a time. You could either do a day tour where you walk through, or you could do a night tour where it's completely dark and you can have a flashlight and have a good time. I would not do that personally, me, myself, and I, but some people are braver than me. So
Yeah, I've never done a flashlight tour anywhere, but I mean, it
I
would
feel
be
like
fun if you were with a group. I would not want to do it by myself, but though with a group, people would always be trying to scare each other, and that would bother me too.
And I think about it too, because like this building specifically is like really old and there's no electricity and it's like, you know, graffiti's everywhere and it's like just a creepy looking building because they didn't really keep it up. So to me, I'm like, that's scarier to me than like if I was walking through like the Winchester house.
That's nice and organized and clean and
Well,
but
organized,
Winchester's not
but
organized.
you know, not.
The tours
Yeah.
are organized.
So yeah, I don't know. I think I might do a day tour if I ever go to Waverly, but I don't know when I'm ever going to be in Kentucky, to be completely honest. So
Yeah, I don't either. It's so funny. I don't know anybody in Kentucky. I don't think I've ever known anybody that lived in Kentucky. You and I did meet somebody from Kentucky when we walked the Camino.
we did, but we didn't get his number or
We did not
anything.
get
Hope
his
you're well,
contact
Raymond.
info. His name was Raymond, and
He owned
he
a
lived
winery.
on, yeah, he was like a chiropractor, but also owned a winery on his property that he lived on.
Yep. And he lives in a dry county. I remember
Yeah,
that.
but he was very nice. Raymond, if you're out there, hello. But yeah, I think he's the only person I've ever met that lived in Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't met Christina, and that's why we drink, but I know she technically lives in Kentucky, even though she's from Cincinnati, because that's like right on the border.
You know what? Actually, so I've been to Kentucky for like 4 hours or something. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot that I've been to Kentucky. You know why?
What?
Because your godmother, I went to see her. And she lives in Indianapolis, and she wanted to go to this aquarium that's like right across the border in Kentucky.
Oh.
And it was like, I think it was like a 2 hour drive from her place. I don't really remember. This was years ago. But
Okay.
we did. We drove across the border. We went to the aquarium. And then there was some grocery store she wanted to go to. And anybody that's from there is going to be mad at me for getting this wrong. But it was some kind of like jungle gyms, or I don't know, there were like monkeys. But they had like a huge weird like beer and wine selection, and yeah, I mean it was like a really awesome place. Like, but I guess it's like a thing, you know, it's like a thing to see. So your godmother really wanted to go see the store, and really wanted to go to the aquarium. So we did both, And your godmother is somebody who's afraid of everything. But they did have a shark walk where you would walk. I mean, it was totally netted in. There was no way you were going to fall into the tank, but you walked over a shark tank. And yeah, she did that. And I was very proud of her because she's a big bad chicken. So
The
again, there's
woman who's
absolutely no way
afraid
you fall in. You're like totally netted all around
of,
you. But yeah, but she did that. So I was very proud of her.
I'm proud of her. Yeah, she's afraid of the Nightmare Before Christmas, so
Yeah,
you
she's
know.
afraid of everything, you know, whereas I will like jump out of an airplane or, you know, whatever the things are. But yeah, I was proud of her for doing it because I know it was a big deal for her. She had a hard time at the end, like, and I'm like, you would think when you get to the end and you're about to step off, you'd be like, thank God, and like, I'm fine. But yeah, she was freaking out more, I think, towards the end. It was weird. Maybe it was just very built up.
Yeah, I was gonna say she probably psyched herself up like really, really hard or
Yeah.
something.
Yeah. But
But
anyway,
yeah,
so I
so
have been to Kentucky. I just forgot because it
well,
was only for a couple of hours.
I mean, good for you going to Kentucky. I've never been to Kentucky, and I don't know if I'll ever be in Louisville. You never know.
Yeah.
But if we're there, Mom, we should go check out Waverly. What do
Yeah. Well, I want to check out everything. So, you know, anytime
you think?
we're anywhere, we should look up what could we check out.
That's true. I actually have been scoping out some haunted locations around Boston recently. Because now that I'm going to have a car here, I intend to drive places.
Yeah. You got a few
Yeah.
months before you're gonna have a car, but it'll be great once you
Oh yeah, that's true. I'm definitely getting my steps in every day. I'm walking
do.
way too much, but that's okay.
Yeah, little Electra Monet is gathering lots of dust and pollen on sitting on the street.
Oh,
But
sure.
I will make sure I get her washed before your visit to come pick her up.
Wonderful. Sounds great. Well, if there's not anything else, I guess we can do some quick housekeeping. Again, friends, thank you for being patient with us. I know I need to update the Instagram and do a lot of things, so we're gonna do that. But if you want to check out our Instagram, it's at whatthelpod. You could also email us at whatthelpod@gmail.com if you have any topic suggestions. We have a lovely Patreon that you could subscribe to, and we do bonus episodes on there monthly. And outside of that, I think just keep being awesome, like, subscribe, listen, do all the things, drink some water, have a pint, enjoy your life. But we appreciate you, friends.
Yeah, and I appreciate you. I'm happy to see your smiling face, Alana.
I appreciate you too, Mama. All right, bye, friends.
Bye.